This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah.
Now we have a very, very special guest in studio. I mean, singer, songwriter, queer pop icon, and the brain behind Lizzo's number one song, Truth Hurts, which you're listening to right now, Jesse St. John.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. Hey, what's up? How are you?
I mean, good. First of all, how are you?
Good. I feel good.
Life is good right now.
Yeah. It kind of feels like every day is my birthday.
Good.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. It's funny because we've been playing that song for so long. Yeah. We were saying even before it was like in the Billboard Hot 100.
Yeah.
And so like, how what's the timeline of it just breaking?
It's crazy. So yeah, it came out in 2017.
That's 2 years.
What?
At the
very end of 2017.
Yeah.
So it's about to be 2 years old.
That is wild. And
isn't
it takes that long to hit.
Well, no, and I think that's so interesting because I want to know from your perspective with seeing the success of a 2 year kind of hit and it's now just so mainstream and everyone's loving it. Does that kind of give you hope for your own kind of music? Because I feel like the way, you know, people are taking in music nowadays, it's not the same.
I think it gives hope for any music. I don't have any, like, I'm the most blissful, grateful writer because I have no expectation for anything that I do.
Yeah.
So it's for, if nothing ever happens, that's incredible and I'm grateful to be invited. If a song becomes number one, hey, that's just the beautiful icing on the cake. But no, I don't really have any expectation for any songs that come out. So when something...
Not even like high hopes or anything? Like any like, oh my God, I hope this
is the moment. Manifestation.
Because when you're here's the thing, it's like when you're in the studio and you feel like, oh my God, this just feels so good. You want everyone to connect with it.
Yeah, but I also just feel grateful that I got to be part of it.
Yeah.
I'm just super like grateful and I have no expectation for anything and then I'm never disappointed.
Yeah, you see, I don't know if that's the way to go. Maybe that is the way to go.
So
just do the work to do the work instead
do the
work. Of doing it to, so it
Putting
can
pressure.
Get somewhere. You're enjoying the journey versus get like doing it to get to a goal.
And I kind of think everything I write is a hit, but like the charts just don't always agree. But
lies.
That's fine, you know?
First of all, let's read some of the receipts because you have written from like Camila Cabello, Britney Spears, obviously Lizzo. Yeah. I mean, you have
Kim
Charlie.
Petras.
Yeah, Kim Petras. Petras, like Charlie Essex.
Yeah, he's wearing the sweatshirt.
I'm wearing a Kim hoodie because she's my queen and my bestie.
She's pretty
so amazing. As like a singer song, like as a songwriter in those spaces, I guess, how do you connect with individuals' like kind of voices and their experience?
So I think like basically there's a reason they want me in the room. They are probably interested in what I have to contribute. And now I have like, enough of a resume that they kind of get an idea of what I bring to the table or what I bring in the room. And then for me, it's like, I always think it's one of my superpowers to be empathetic and understand what people want to say. Like it's such a special power that I could never turn off or I wouldn't trade it in. I'll never stop writing for other people because it feels so gratifying to me to help people get their vision across in a way that I wouldn't necessarily say it. And sometimes it's nice to play another character.
And what do you do? Is it like a therapy session?
Yeah, totally.
And I guess everyone does it differently. Some people like the drink. Some people like some weed.
Yeah, it's not me. I know. I'm a sober writer. I know.
Okay,
It's so 50-50.
Right,
Mostly, actually, you'd be surprised. I think in my head, even though we're in this industry, I think that it's like, oh, everyone's doing this because it was such like a rock star past, but most people are just trying to be creative and clear.
It's so funny. Yeah, totally. And it's kind of like, once it becomes your job, it's like not, you're not like, let's get fucked up and like stay in the studio all night. It's kind of, Jesus.
It's all right. We got a dump button just for that.
I guess we made you come to me.
No, but here's
I'm a rocker.
Here's what's so amazing. One, we're talking to singer-songwriter, oh my God, that just messed me completely
Jesse
up. Jesse St. John, sorry. No, basically we're, you know, talking to him about, you know, obviously his career and all these things, which is amazing because you are a queer pop artist. And I think it's something to be said to be a queer person taking up space in this music industry.
Totally.
And as powerful, because it's not only a fat black woman at the top of the charts, it's also a queer person at the top of those charts. And so how does that feel, kind of being that representation that a lot of people are looking for?
Totally. And I think between this song and Old Town Road, like Lil Nas, who's incredible, like I'm a massive fan.
Yeah.
I think it's like the representation that kind of has been a buzzword for the past year or so is really being represented in the charts now. And people are actually using their dollars and their cultural influence to put the people at the top of the charts who they want to see there. We're no longer in an industry where you can kind of ignore the sort of political influence of the climate of the world. So I think it's important that people are kind of like, okay, this Lizzo girl, like, I want to know what she has to say. I want to go back to her back catalog and find her songs that I maybe missed. And it's such a digestible message, and it reaches so many people.
It is, and it's so, like, even in that song, actually what I listen to a lot is, like, the phrases and how they intertwine,
oh
and
God.
It's like...
She, by the way, is a beast on her own. Like,
just a genius.
Oh, yeah,
she's a genius.
But the words and how we all go through those moments where we're canceled by someone, it's like, really, you're canceling me?
Oh, my God.
I cancel you.
Well, no, imagine my poor ex-boyfriend's hearing it on the radio every day.
So, are you like a Taylor Swift writer?
Oh my God. First of all, we will not mention that name
in
this studio.
The breakup thing.
Yeah, using your, pain, your broken heart for your art. Yeah, we all do that. We all do that in different ways. It's just mine is like unavoidable in Ubers.
What I do find interesting, though, is kind of the amazingness of having a song in top movies and streaming.
Totally.
And because, you know, Truth Hurts really popped off when it was in Someone Great on Netflix.
Totally.
And everyone was like, what is this song with Gina Rodriguez dancing and DaWanda Wise dancing? So I guess, what can you speak on the power of having, you know, either music that you're working on personally and kind of being integrated in television and streaming?
It's such a cool platform because you can only... I mean, we're in such a different time now where we don't have, like, TRL or, like, things like that where I used to kind of discover music when I was little.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right home.
But what about TRL Live? They tried to do that.
They did?
Yeah.
Right.
It was like all the YouTubers.
Like MTV Live.
Right. I don't even have... Right, you're right. Mm-hmm. But I don't even have cable, so I'm not... I'm streaming everything, and I think now that's kind of the new tastemaker kind of thing. And so much of my success is owed to TikTok. This app.
Really?
1,000%. That, I think, even put Truth Hurts above the Someone Great. Someone Great kind of, like, gave it some new ears.
Yeah.
But TikTok people saying I took a DNA test, that was, like, the whole, like... moment, and it kept resurfacing as a new meme, as a new challenge.
So amazing, because I was so on TikTok when it was Musical.ly.
Exactly.
And then it's just like crazy how it can create some cultural movements. Yeah. And people don't get, like, I think that you know it, and the music industry knows it, and people's teenage kids know it, but can you explain, like, that phenomenon?
Yeah, it's basically just... It's so interesting to see that that's how kids communicate with each other, because I came up... I know, it's so wild.
I feel 65 when talking about TikTok. It's like
know,
so
but
like...
it's for everybody.
Yeah, it is. It's great. It's
so
incredible.
Funny.
It's like people, there's a song and a hashtag, and people then could... You could shoot yourself lip singing and then doing challenges and everything, and
it's like basically like little 30-second videos of you lip syncing and editing it and making it like a little baby weird music video that you can text to your friends and post online and stuff. And I came up in the era of Tumblr. Like when I was like a teenager, like we were all on Tumblr. Yeah. And so it's kind of like the Tumblr, but like way on steroids.
Fascinating.
Okay.
I want to know what's next, like, or what type of artists you want to collaborate with in the future, since you have so many amazing people under your belt who really are like the next big stars.
Totally. I'm most excited about Kim Petras right now. Like,
she's everything, and we love her here.
Yeah, me too. So we wrote an EP together that comes out on October 1st. I know.
It's spooky season.
It's spooky
season. And she
season.
Is like that spooky girl.
Yeah, we're like big like Halloweeners.
Yeah.
Like we are like, we'll go to any haunted house. Yeah, so we connected on that really early on. So it's been amazing to do these spooky monster themed like EPs with her. And then if Megan Thee Stallion's listening, I want to work with her.
I mean, hot girl season.
Exactly.
So I do want to know, because before we wrap this up, obviously you worked with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
And I would probably get my gay card revoked if I didn't ask you how that was.
So I never, do you want to know the tea?
Yes, I want to know
the tea.
I didn't
meet her at all. I know. I just wrote a song and they gave it to her. I know. Trust me. It was my only goal. The minute I found out that songwriting like was a job, I was like, I'm going to write for Britney Spears. Like, that's my dream. I saw her. She was my first concert. I've seen her like 11 times. Like, I'm a Britney like diehard.
Yeah.
And so that was like my dream. I was like, however I can get a song to Britney Spears. So I met her A&R, who was this amazing woman called Karen, and she was like, this song is great for her. Let's
Can't we make it happen now?
I don't know.
Do like a repeat of you and Britney?
Yeah, go in the studio. Well,
Britney going through her own
go
stuff
into
right
her
now.
Wherever she is right now.
I would love to. Yeah.
Open to anything. You're open
to everything. Open to everything.
Well, I cannot wait to see more from you, and especially even your own music and obviously creating art for Kim Petras and so many other artists. So thank you for being here.
Dude, thank you. This is so fun. And what a cool show. Thank you for having me.
Oh, so appreciate it. You're good vibes.
Yeah.
And where can people find out more and follow you?
Jessie St. John, JesseSaintJohn, not ST, period, which I hate.
You're a saint.
Yeah, I'm a saint. S-A-I-N-T. That's how you spell saint.
You're always
loving
that.
So follow me on
that.
Everywhere, Twitter and Instagram and Spotify.
I'm obsessed with Jessie. I can't
even
do it.
Yeah,
I can't.